Hello, everybody, and welcome to another episode of the Power of Forgiveness podcast. My name is Dwayne Staten, and I want to thank you for tuning in for another episode. This podcast is meant to help those toward the path of forgiveness, for the ones who have been hurt, heartbroken, forever changed by something that was said or done to them, which changed their mindset, the course of their relationships, their future, and even their life in general. With this podcast, I speak about the lessons I've learned from forgiveness, and I give it to you, the audience. Today is the second part in a multi-part series called Pain. After speaking with a lot of interviewees, there is a lot of pain that starts the seed of unforgiveness. And in part two, we're going to talk about mommy pain. I want to bring back the intriguing question from the last episode that author, writer, and managing editor at desiringgod.org, Marshall Segal, asked. How much of the trouble you have experienced in life do you, consciously or unconsciously, attribute to your parents or other family members? To things they withheld from you? To lessons they hadn't learned yet? To character flaws in them that haven't changed? To mistakes they made in raising you? To the sins they committed against you? I found this question intriguing because with my biological mother, like all parents, there were character flaws within her. And it caused me trouble because of what I thought a mother should be when it came to her biological child. And when she didn't fulfill that role, I became angry, bitter, and unforgiving towards her. I want to ask how many of us can answer this question honestly. It's a hard one, but it needs to be asked. I went online to different sources to see what the role of a mother is, and this is what I found. A Christian mother is told to love her children, from the book of Titus, chapter 2, verses 4 and 5. A mother provides unconditional love, safety, and security to be a teacher and disciplinarian. A mother instills trust, family bonding, to be kind and caring, to be thoughtful, sensitive, have a positive attitude, and show the role of routine and discipline both in life and in work. A mother is nurturing, a secure anchor, a confidant, an emotional anchor. This was great to me. When it came to relationships between mothers and daughters, according to a 2016 study published in the journal Neuroscience, a mother-daughter relationship is the strongest of all parent-child bonds when it comes to the common ways their brains process emotion. The part of the brain that regulates emotions is more similar between mothers and daughters than any other intergenerational pairing. That means that mom is more likely to understand where you're coming from or when faced with a problem because she can imagine herself in your shoes. Or on the flip side of that coin, it could explain all the times that you two have butt heads. The same sides of magnets repel each other after all. When it comes to mothers and their sons, mothers have a significant impact on their sons to the extent that the way they behave in their later years is attributed to their relationship with their mother. No other person understands a child better than a mother. Right from the time that the son is born till his adult years, a boy nurtures a deep-rooted bond with his mom. And this relationship is imperative for the overall development and emotional health of the child. Now, I found all of those interesting. And when it comes to the roles of moms, there are many that have fulfilled that role. And there are some that have fulfilled a majority. And there are some that haven't fulfilled any. Maybe it's hurt because your mother didn't fulfill this role. Any of the roles you needed. Maybe she left. Maybe she did something else that wasn't even described and left a pain and a hurt and a hole that became the seed or fertile ground for unforgiveness. I want to bring a couple stories of women who had to forgive their mothers. Writer Tracy Strauss, after being in therapy and diagnosed with PTSD, told her mother that her father sexually abused her for years. And when she told her mother asked her not to talk about it. She couldn't hear or know the truth that she said, and if she did, she wouldn't be able to get out of the morning, go to work, do her job, and live her life. In July of 2010, her mother was diagnosed with stage 3C ovarian cancer. Tracy wrote a piece about her rise in the car with her family, including her father, and it brought her mother to tears. She apologized to Tracy, and she sensed that her mother genuinely meant it, but she didn't forgive her. Not because she didn't want to, because she didn't feel forgiveness. I wonder if that's something a lot of you are going through. You don't feel forgiveness, or you don't feel like forgiving. Let's go back in. When she asked her mother why she didn't let people know the truth, she said that she was afraid of the information would find her way, find its way back to her father. Her mother didn't want her father to know that she was vulnerable. Although it had been close to 20 years since their divorce and her father was remarried and lived far away, her mother believed he could still hurt her and could and would. So her mother allowed fear to guide her decisions. As Tracy witnessed her mother's physical and mental suffering, she also saw her mother's limitations, inabilities, and how her world was shrunk. Tracy was surprised to notice forgiveness growing inside of her. And during her visit, she told her mother, "It's taken me a long time, but I've come to forgive you." She wanted what she said to penetrate her mother's soundproofed heart. "I forgive you," Tracy said again. And then she realized that she set herself up for failure. For her mother to feel Tracy's forgiveness, she'd have to emotionally face her role in the painful events of her past. "If I had known," her mother stated, "I would have done something." Then her mother changed the subject. "As if I hadn't said a word, as if the exchange never happened." After Tracy's mother passed away and after the funeral, she went through her mother's belongings and found notebooks full of poetry and prose she'd crafted when she was a girl. A written record of her unspoken thoughts and feelings. In a 3x5 green me notebook, her mother detailed her father's verbal abuse during their marriage. "Did the surgeon take off your brain when he took off part of your breasts? You're deaf and dumb. How much are you soaking me for this time? You only put your hands down my pockets for money. I'll remember this and get you back." Her mother described interactions of intimidation and bullying, marking the date and time. As Tracy contemplated why her mother kept a record of these things but never told anyone, she came to understand that on those rides on the highway with her family, her mother couldn't help Tracy because her mother saw herself as a victim. And in truth, her mother was a victim. The fact didn't excuse her in her mind. But forgiving her mother didn't mean that she didn't feel upset that her mother failed her. It didn't mean that Tracy condoned her negligence. What it meant for her is that Tracy put down the impossible task of trying to make her mother go back to the past to save her. Forgiveness means separating herself from the unhealthy parts of her mother that took root inside of her, including the fear that for a long time let her drive her own adult decisions. How does a daughter forgive her mother? In her own time and way. For Tracy, forgiveness was a decision to stop suffering, to put down a burden that didn't serve her. And when she faced and accepted the truth of her past, it was only then could she see that she survived the horror. Only then could she feel her uncensored anger and disappointment and sorrow and her mother's toxic denial and terror, along with her love and her regret. Be free. Only then did she see the whole picture. And only then could she reclaim her power and look to the road ahead. Now that's powerful. I want to repeat something that stuck with me. Forgiving your mother doesn't mean that you don't feel upset that she failed her and doesn't condone her negligence. It means that she's put down the impossible task of trying to make her mother go up to the past and save her. That's powerful. A lot of us go back to say, why didn't you do this back then? Why didn't you say this? Why didn't you save me? Why didn't you protect me? Why didn't you defend me? We try to make the past right. And we judge our parents, for lack of a better term, we crucify our parents. That hurts. We can't change the past, but we can change where we are and change the future. Another thing that really got me was, how does a daughter forgive her mother? I'll even say, how does a son forgive his mother? In their own time and way. Forgiveness is a process. I wish it was something that we could do just like that. I mean, maybe we could if someone steps on our feet or accidentally bumps into us, because it's really nothing. But for deep traumas, that takes time. It takes God and a licensed therapist, talking it out, and many things. It may be uncomfortable. It may be hard. But it is needed. And as throughout the whole podcast, forgiveness helps us a lot more than we realize. We need forgiveness. And as it said in Matthew chapter 6, if we forgive those who have trespassed against us, God will forgive us. If we don't forgive those who have trespassed against us, we will not be forgiven. Forgiveness is for us, and we need it. So we must extend forgiveness to those who have wronged us, past, present, or future, physically, mentally, emotionally, spiritually. As I said, is it easy? No. Is it hard? It is. But it's necessary. You don't have to go through it alone. You have God. Go to a therapist, a counselor can help you through it. And I know you can overcome it. As it says Philippians, we can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. And we are more than conquerors, as it says in Romans. So I know that you can do it. You have the power to overcome, and you will overcome. Another story. Editor Elise El Hage, I really hope I didn't butcher her name, my apologies, spoke about how a trivial conflict quickly escalated into an ugly, tear-filled outburst against her mother. She unleashed a torrent of grievances, a lifetime really of built up hurt and anger. When she finished blaming her mother for every parenting mistake that was made, she packed her bags and left, vowing never to return home again. Her relationship with her mother was perhaps more complicated by her parents' divorce and the fact that her mother raised her alone. She researched and written before that single motherhood is hard. Not just on mothers, but also on their children who often spend time in complex families as their moms enter into new romantic relationships. First off, I want to pause here and just say shout out to the single moms. And honestly, I see y'all out there, y'all doing it up. Y'all, I'm very happy and proud of y'all. I am. Really. Back to the story. Life can be chaotic, unstable, and uncertain. And research shows that children of divorce are more likely to have poor relationships with their parents as adults. The pressure of adult responsibilities, being a confidant to their mother, co-parent to siblings, helping with everything from homework and cleaning to discipline. And as an older sibling, this took a toll on her because she had to do all these things. And it took a toll on her relationship with her mother, especially during her teen years when she honestly would rather have been hanging out with friends. At the same time, she struggled with issues relating to missing her own dad, including depression. And instead of telling her mother how she felt or how some of her choices impacted her, she rarely said anything to her mother because she didn't want to hurt her mom's feelings. How many of us have done that? How many of us have kept or pent up emotions or how we feel because we didn't want to hurt the other person's feelings? Whether it be a mother, father, sibling, cousin, family member, friend. How many of us have done that? And then like a volcano, it just erupts. It's unhealthy. I know because I've done it before. I'm not going to lie, there are times I still do. But with God, I can overcome it. Back to the story. Over the years, a lot of resentment built up towards her mom. Just waiting for the right argument to set her off. Like, you know how you just wait and it's like, I wish they would. One word. Say one more thing. Say one more again. One word. How many of us are like that? It's like, well, you got one time. They got one time. I wish they would. Why is it that we why do we always say this? Like, I wish you would. You don't wish it. You want it to, but you don't wish it. Or maybe some people do. I don't know. I digress. Let me get back in the story. Over the years, a lot of resentment built up towards her mother. And although she's always been taught that we need to forgive others as God forgives us, it took her some time to get to that point of complete forgiveness with her mother. But life has a funny way of helping us get perspective. And the more she looked at the bigger picture of her life, the more she was able to see her mother in a new light. For her, forgiveness wasn't so much about her mom saying, I'm sorry, as it was about her allowing her to be honest and then acknowledging her pain. Their reconciliation didn't happen overnight or in one magic conversation where she said all the things that she needed to hear. In fact, her mother and her never really discussed that fight. And for a little while, things were awkward between them. Honestly, they just kept going until things eventually got better. Still, she knew that she had to forgive her mother. And she discovered that forgiveness doesn't depend on the other person's actions as much as her own. Over the years, because she's been more open about her feelings, she's come to better understand that what she experienced as a child of divorce and how some of her mother's choices impacted her. At the same time, through her experience of motherhood and her efforts to recognize the hardships she faced as a single mom, she's come to value her mother's sacrifices and to give her mother the gift of unconditional love that her mother has always given her. When it comes to our relationships with our mothers, most of us, at one time or another, have faced a choice between remaining bitter about something that our moms did or failed to do in the past, or finding our way to forgiveness. She said she was thankful that she didn't allow resentment about her childhood to destroy her relationship with her mother.
because she not only would have lost a huge part of herself, but also her biggest fan and best friend.
Wow. That was powerful.
That was powerful.
A couple things that I grabbed from this was forgiveness wasn't about her mother saying sorry, as it was about her to be honest and then acknowledging her pain.
A lot of us are hoping that sometimes it's, we're like, I want you to say I'm sorry. I want you to say you were wrong. Sometimes it's not like that.
Sometimes it is, but other times it's not.
Maybe it's your mother acknowledging your pain, saying, I hear you. I didn't know you were hurt. That was wrong. That was painful. I can definitely see that.
Another thing that spoke to me was reconciliation didn't happen overnight or in one magic conversation where she said all the things that she needed to hear.
Sometimes we're expecting our mother to say the exact things we need to hear in order to forgive. We have a script in our head and we're thinking, okay, action. Say the line so we can be good.
Life doesn't happen that way. We expect people to say what we want them to say in order for things to be right.
But what if what we want them to say isn't the truth? What if everything they say is the truth from honestly their truth? And if their truth doesn't match what we want them to say or our script in their head, it's a problem. Like, we want you to admit that you were wrong. I want you to admit that you did this. I want you to admit X, Y, Z. Admit it and we'll be good.
Sometimes it isn't like that.
Sometimes it's them acknowledging, yes, you were hurt. And honestly, it may be some things other than that. But don't let what that person said or did not say affect your actions. Don't let it affect you experiencing forgiveness.
As I said, forgiveness doesn't depend on the other person's actions as much as on our own. We're not puppets. God gave us free will. And if we let other people's actions dictate what we do, we become puppets, marionette puppets.
Dance, 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 my pretties.
We don't want that.
Yeah, that was a whack imitation. Don't judge me out loud. But I want you to think about that. Someone makes you angry or hurts you. Hurt people, so we do the same thing back to them. It's puppets, marionettes. But God cut our strings. He cut us free from all of that. He said, if the Son has made you free, then you are free indeed. We are free people. We are free children in Christ. Do not let what that person did to you affect you, your actions. You don't do that. You are more than a conqueror. You are fearfully and wonderfully made. You are made in the spitting image of God. Do not let what these people said or did to you affect you and stop you from getting your forgiveness, stop you from being all that God wants you to be. Do not let what they do or say or whatever stop you or affect you.
That was for somebody. Maybe it was for everybody. I don't know. But it needed to be said. Another thing that she said was she was thankful that she didn't allow resentment about her childhood destroy her relationship with her mother, because she would have not only lost a huge part of herself, but her biggest fan and friend. What happened in our childhood, it affects us. Some positive, some negative. For some, when it comes to our childhood, there may be more healing that needs to be done. And I don't want your childhood to destroy who you were or destroy relationships with your family or whoever. To that, again, I say, seek a licensed therapist. Get the help you need. I'm going to bring this back up. I know a lot of people are saying, you don't know what my mom did to me. You don't know what she said to me. You know how she treated me. You're right. I don't. But I do know that it hurt you. I do not know that it left you angry and bitter, and that it's hurting you and possibly your relationships. And I don't want that to happen to you. I want you to be free from all that. Author, blogger, and speaker Erin Davis, she brought up three verses that we got to keep in mind. Put on then as God's chosen ones, holy and beloved, compassionate hearts, kindness, humility, meekness, and patience, bearing with one another, and if one has complaint against another, forgiving each other. As the Lord has forgiven you, so you also must forgive. Colossians chapter 3, verses 12 and 13. Repay no one evil for evil, but give thought to do what is honorable in the sight of all. If possible, so far as it depends on you, live peaceably with all. Beloved, never avenge yourselves, but leave it to the wrath of God. For it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, says the Lord. To the contrary, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he is thirsty, give him something to drink. For by doing so, you will heap burning coals on his head. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. Romans chapter 12, verses 17 to 21. Be angry and do not sin. Do not let the sun go down your anger and give no opportunity to the devil. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and slander be put away from you, along with all malice. Ephesians chapter 4, verses 26, 27, and 31. Now, if you break those three verses down, their essence is basically this. Jesus asks us to forgive others because he has forgiven us. It's God's job to right wrongs, not ours. He asks us to do everything in our power to live in peace with other people. I want to ask you, when you hear these verses and hear these three things, what is that saying to you? Just take a moment and really let it resonate with you. What is the Holy Spirit asking you? What are you asking yourself? Refusing to deal with our anger, bitterness, rage, harsh words, backstabbing, and grudges gives Satan a foothold in our lives. Now remember the verse. The devil prowls around like a lion, seeking whom he could devour. This gives us a foothold. This gives him a foothold. And as the old saying goes, when sharks smell blood in the water, same with here. Anger, bitterness, rage, harsh words, backstabbing, grudges, blood in the water.
Satan will grab on, latch on, and attack and devour you. Don't let that happen. I want to give you some things to think about. Consider that your mother did the best that she could. We'll never understand the issues that shaped our mothers or compelled her to act in the way that she did, including unresolved issues with her own mother. We have to choose to believe that our mother was doing the best that she could and forgive her for the rest. Do it in your heart first. Then if your mother's alive, reach out to her. If your mother's gone or unreachable, it will help to write down your thoughts and share them with a close friend. Not Pookie or Black or whoever down the street. Someone whom you're really close to. It could be a family member. It could be a friend. It could be a teacher, a pastor, a neighbor, someone who you really trust. Pray on that. Writer Lori Pollock Keeneland says, your mother doesn't have to change or ask for forgiveness in order for you to be happy. For forgiving your mother for hurting you isn't a gift for her, it's for you. With forgiveness comes healing, freedom, and peace. Learning how to forgive your mother for what she did or didn't do. You won't just change your relationship with her. Forgiveness changes your relationship with yourself. Forgiving her will loosen the anger, grief, and guilt you're carrying. Accepting your mother for who she is hard. Allowing your mother to parent you the way that she wants, not the way you want to be parented, is painful. But forgiving your mom for hurting you is possible. Our childhood wounds never go away, especially if they're caused by our mothers. We want our moms to love us, support us, take care of us, and be there for us. But our mothers can't be who we want them to be. Some of us may need to rewind that and hear that part again. Forgiveness changes your relationship with yourself and will loosen the anger, grief, and guilt you're carrying. If I had money, I'd lay it down for myself, but that's not who I am or how I operate. Sometimes mothers can come back better than before. Take writer Joe Piazza. When growing up, her mother was often depressed, anxious, and codependent on her difficult father. Joe's mother was there for her some of the time, but at others, she was hardly present at all, emotionally or physically. Joe was often terrified to bring friends home because she never knew if her mother would be manically happy or passed out on the couch watching Oprah. Her mother's clinical depression was so bad that she nearly didn't make it to Joe's wedding. And the most difficult part was that she didn't even seem to care. But Joe's mom is a different person now. She found the right mix of medication, therapy, and lifestyle changes to become healthier. She wants to be a part of Joe's life and part of her son's life. And Joe's heart explodes a little when she sees her mother and her son together. Her mother may not have been built to be the world's best, but she has everything it takes to be a varsity level grandmother. For Joe, becoming a mother means letting go of fantasies of how your life should look. She thought her perfect mom life included a beach, palm trees, and sweater weather. It doesn't. It involves forgiving her mother, asking for help, and going back home. That's beautiful. Another thing, consider our Heavenly Father and seek to be like Him. God teaches us throughout the Bible how to give thanks and forgiveness. His Son, Jesus Christ, was the perfect human example of this. It's very possible that we have deep wounds from our mothers. God's grace can heal our hearts and relationships. He can give us the ability to forgive. And our Heavenly Father can teach us new patterns of living and loving in our relationships with our mother and in all our relationships. This is something that we need.
I know that there are times where we don't have the strength to forgive those who have hurt us, to do what it takes in this episode, and more. We can only do these things with the power of Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ died on the cross for our sins to be forgiven in the past, present, and future. And he rose from the grave to give us eternal life, a relationship with God himself, power over sin, and power of the enemy. If you want Jesus Christ in your life, just pray this. Dear Lord, thank you for dying for my sins and my wrongdoings in the past, present, and future. I confess and believe that you died on the cross for my sins, was buried, and rose again. I give my life to you, Lord. Please come to my heart. I make you my Lord and Savior. If you pray that prayer, I want to say welcome to the family. This is the best decision you could ever make in your life. Now that you've made this decision, get in a good Bible-teaching church who preaches the gospel and message of Jesus Christ. You can look on Google, social media, and ask family and friends for recommendations. Also, there may have been some things said in this episode that may have triggered some bad memories and bad feelings. If this is the case, please seek a licensed therapist to talk them out. You can go through your healthcare provider, Google, or ask family and friends who receive therapy for recommendations. I want to thank you for listening to another episode of the Power of Forgiveness podcast. If you like this podcast, please subscribe, rate it on all platforms, and most importantly, share this with other people. You never know what they're going through. I want to let you know that the Power of Forgiveness has a group page on Facebook. Join the group and get in on the conversation. That link is in the show notes. I also have my social media page in the show notes. You can follow me on both Instagram and Facebook. You can also leave me a voice message on Anchor. I would love to hear from you. Also, I need your help. I'm enrolled in a coaching program through my local college, pursuing a certification in life coaching with the International Coach Federation. As part of the curriculum, I need to reach 100 hours in order to become certified. I'm open to connect with individuals who have an interest in being coached and moving the needle in their life or needing help in forgiving those who have hurt them. Many people have interest in moving from where they are to where they want to be, and coaching can be the key that unlocks that potential. I'm asking if you or anyone you know might benefit from coaching to please contact me. I'll be happy to chat more about it and be grateful for the help it provides to further my qualification. If you're interested and want to help, just click on the link in my bio and schedule a session. I want you all to have an amazing week, and remember that forgiveness is not letting what that person or people said or did to you affect you, your spirit, your future, or where you're going in life. And that's not an excuse for or enabling someone's behavior, but not letting what that person or people did hold you back or keep you from being or grabbing all that God wants you to be or has for you. Have a good one. Hello, everyone. I come today with a heavy heart. On November 21st, a friend of mine who I went to elementary school with passed away from COVID. It hit me hard because he was a great father, a great husband, a great friend. And this COVID virus is something serious. I know there are those who have lost someone from COVID. Know someone who have it. Maybe those who are listening to this podcast has COVID. My prayers are going out for each and every one of you. And for those who do not have COVID, please, please be mindful and be careful. These guidelines aren't to stop your life or to make you feel trapped. They're here to keep you safe and those around you safe. To keep you alive. So I'm asking you all, please wear a mask. Stay at least 6 feet apart. Avoid crowds. Wash your hands often. The more steps you take, the more you're protected against COVID-19. If you need to, go to your state's guidelines to read if there's anything else you need to do. Please keep safe. The death toll is rising. People are losing family, friends. My prayer and hope is that this virus is destroyed in the name of Jesus. But until then, we must all do our part. Wear a mask. Stay 6 feet apart. Avoid crowds. Wash your hands. Keep safe. Love on one another. You can save a life.